Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today, we begin our Shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Yud Ches. We will be beginning from the first wide line on this Omid. Before beginning the Gemara, let us take a look at the Nosei, one of the features that we offer in our Gemara marking system in the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of Gemara markings. This is the topic heading that we assign to each new sugya. In this case, under our Nosei heading, we have written in the outside margin, Tchunois, characteristics, Shel Yodos V'Shomrim Shel Oichlin. Regarding Yodos handles and or conduits, Shomrim would be something that literally is a guard, but something that serves as a peel or skin that covers food. Our Gemara begins with a Tanaic source. You can see there is a framed section that follows Tanan Hosam. Kol Shehu Yad Velo Shomer. If you have something that serves as a handle and not as a guard, not as a covering. An example of this would be a piece of bone or a bone that has no marrow in it. Marrow is considered food as far as halacha is concerned, but we're talking now about a bone that has no marrow in it, but on one end there is meat. So that's a yad. That's not a shomer. Had it had marrow in it, so the bone would have been acting as a shomer, as a type of peel or guard covering the marrow, which we said is food. So if you have something that serves as a yad, as a handle, and not as shomer, tome umetame v'eino mitzaref. Let us take a look at Rashi on the fourth line from the top. Tome im hoyo tohor. Vinoga hayad b'sheretz. Let us say the meat that was at one end of the bone happened to be tohar, was pure, was not rendered tome. But yet the bone, the other end of the bone that didn't have the meat on it, in other words, one end of the bone had meat, the other end not. So the end that did not have meat on it touched a sheretz. So the Rashi tells us, machneses tuma le'oichel. It will conduct the tuma to the meat. The afagav diihu lav oichel, who even though the bone itself is not food, mekabel tuma ka'oichel atzmo. It absorbs tuma as if it were food. Umetame, Rashi goes on, im oichel tomehu, v'noga yodo b'oichel tohor. Let us say that on one end of the bone was meat that was already tome, and the other end of the bone touched food that is tohor. Metamo, Rashi says. The bone serves as a conduit for conducting the tuma from the food item, from the meat at one end of it, to the other tohor food that's touching the other end of the bone. The source also said, v'eino mitzaref, that means that there is a minimum shiur for tumas ochlin, and that is an egg size. It's called a kibetza. We say that if you have food that is a kibetza in size, it can metame other food items, if it's tome. The case we've just described involves a piece of, let us say, meat at one end of the bone. The meat itself is less than an egg size in quantity. The bone will not join with the meat to form a full kibetza in quantity, a full egg size in quantity. The next point of this source, Shomer, Afalpi She'eno Yad, if, let us say, you had something that functions as a Shomer, an example of that would be the skin that covers meat, and you have meat attached to it, meat that's attached to the skin. So you have skin, and on one side of the skin is a kezias of meat. So this is a shomer that is not a yad. It doesn't function as a handle. The rule is tome umetame u mitzaref. It can serve as a conduit of bringing tuma that touches one side of the skin to the meat on the other side of the skin. Mitame, if the meat is tome, meat on one side of the skin is already tome, and something tohor touches the other side of the skin, so the tome meat will conduct, its tuma will be conducted through the skin to the other side. And mitzaref means that if the meat that was attached to the skin was less than a kebetza in size, and the skin, if joined up with it, if you calculate the quantity of skin together with the meat, you get to a kebetza, it will join up. A third category, lo yad velo shomer, something that serves neither as a yad or handle, nor as a skin or as a covering. An example of that would be a hair or a very thin bone to which one end is attached food. Nevertheless, lo tome velo mitame. It won't serve as a conductor of tuma in either direction. The Gemara now goes on with a discussion concerning yados. We are going to be spending quite a bit of time in the Gemara dealing with the source for yados as is found in different psukim. So the Gemara asks, yodos hechok sivi, where are yodos referred to in the Torah? Dichtiv, and we will take careful note of the fact that the Torah mentions yodos in different places. This is a posuk dealing with zroim, with seeds, vegetation. And the posuk says, v'chiyutan mayim al zera, v'nofal minivlosom olov, tomei hu lochem. We should point out, maybe even before getting into the Gemara itself, that in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, you'll notice that we've used triangles to highlight very specific psukim, and we've written little words next to them, or above them, below them. You see the word Zroim written in here. This is a reference to a posuk in Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, posuk Lamed Ches. Then we will see a posuk referring to Yodos in the context of Nevela, that's posuk Lamedes. And further down the Omid, we will see something in the context of a tanur, of an oven or a stove. An oven, in Talmudic terms, was essentially a clay vessel that had coals placed in the bottom of it. It will be the job of the Gemara to figure why do we have to have psukim describing yodos in all different contexts, in the case of Zroim, Nevela, and Tanur. And later, we will also introduce, as part of our discussion, the issue of Shomrim. Turning to the Gemara, we read the Pasuk, but we'll read it again. The Pasuk says, V'chiyutan mayim al zera, when water is placed on some vegetable, V'nofal minivlosim alov, and then some Nevela touches the food item, tomehu lochem. Now, the Pasuk doesn't say just tomehu, it says tomehu lochem. This is now darshened lochem lechol shebetzorchechem. Lerabois es hayodos. This expression comes to include that not only does the food itself become tomei, but the yad, the stem, the handle, that which is not actually food itself but protrudes from the food also can mekabel tuma. Mekabel tuma, as we said before, it will serve as a conduit of tuma. Uksiv, another pasuk, v'chi, it says, by the case of nevela, nevela is an animal that died, it says, v'chi yomus min ha-behemo asher hi lochem. Lochem l'chol shebetzorchechem. Once again, lochem is coming to include something beyond the nevela itself. L'rabos is hayodos. Now, we should point out, before going any further, the first pasuk v'chiyutan mayim alzera, in which the yad was featured, we were talking there about the vegetation becoming tomei. So the yad featured in that pasuk was the yad functioning as a conduit to transfer tumah to the item, to the food item. That's called yad lahachnis. Nevela is something that is already tomei. So the introduction of a yad in the context of nevela would be a function of conveying tumah from the nevela out to something else. That's called yad lahotzi. And that's what the Gemara points out right now. Yad lahachnis, that was featured in Pasuk Lamed Ches, which dealt with the Zeroyim, and ulahotzi, that's the function of the yad in Pasuk Lamed Tes, which describes the nevela. Shomer lahachnis ulahotzi, as far as a shomer is concerned, for conducting tumah to the item on the other side of the peel or the skin, and communicating tumah from it outwards, lo tzorech kra. We don't need a pasuk to serve as a source for the shomer and its abilities to be machnis and motzi. Kal v'chomer miyad osi. It can be derived through kal v'chomer logic from the dinim of yad. Uma yad she'eno magino machneses and motzia. Mind you, the stem or the bone that we have been describing till now doesn't protect the food. It's a protrusion from the food item itself. It doesn't protect the food, and yet it has the capacity of being machnes and motzi. Shomer lo kol shekein, the shomer, which is even more closely related to the food in the sense that it serves as a protection of the food, all the more so it should have these characteristics. Shomer de kosav rachmona loma li. Why then does the Torah make a reference to the shomer, as was learned already in our Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Od Beis from the posuk al kol zera zerua asher yizorea? From that we learned that food items can also have shomrim to them. So why does the Torah have to make mention of shomer if its point was lahachnis ulahotzi? So shma mino litzaref. It must be that the mention of shomer is as its a special feature in its ability to be mitzaref. Mitzaref, we mentioned already today, is a case where you have less than the required amount of ochel. The shomer will add to the amount required for the ochel in the case of, let's say, tumas ochlin. In order for food to communicate tumah to other pieces of food, you'd have to have a minimum of an egg quantity, a kibetza. So if you have food that's less than a kibetza, but together with the skin that's attached to it, you have a full kibetza, a full egg quantity, then it will be able to communicate tumas ochlin. That's what's meant by litzaref. The Gemara now asks, and you'll see the Gemara presents a series of questions, voicing, we'll say, alternative suggestions. This we feature under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, where you can see the triangle is featured, and we mention that these are Hatsa'os, Chilufios, alternative suggestions to that which we've said. V'eima, why not say yad lahachnis velo lahotzi, that the capacity that a yad has is simply to machnis tumah to the item. That means if the item that's attached to the handle is tahor, and the other end of this handle, we mean of course without a a bone or a stem, as we've described till now. The other end touches something that's tamei, so it'll machnis tuma to the tohar food. However, velo lahotzi, you know, so I won't learn from nevela. Nevela won't serve as a precedent. And furthermore, shomer lahachnis ulahotzi, but a shomer will have, in fact, both of these properties, being machnis and motzi. However, avol yad lahotzi v'shomer litzarei flo, but these two points that we thought were binding, in fact, maybe don't exist. Maybe a yad isn't motzi. Maybe the shomer is not mitzaref. The Gemara responds that this suggestion falls away. Yad lahachnis velo lahotzi lo motzis amris. To suggest that a yad is machnis and not motzi, you can't say that. Hashta ayuli ma'ayla afuki mebaya. If the yad has the capacity of conducting tuma to something that isn't tame at all, it's ayuli, means it causes something to enter, to come in. And if the pasuk is telling me that a yad has that power, so it would be obvious that the yad is capable of being motzi. Motzi is a case where something already that already is tumeh, and something to conduct tumah outwards to something else, certainly the yad would be able to do that. Well, the Gemara nevertheless suggests something else. The Emo may be Yad Lahotzi Velo Lahachnis. Maybe all the power that Yad has is actually simply to be Motzi and not Machnis. Shomer Lahotzi Ulahachnis. The Shomer is upgraded one level and says it would have both of those characteristics. Avol Yad Lahachnis V'Shomer Litzarei Flo. But as far as a yad being machnis tuma and a shomer is being mitzaref, no, maybe it doesn't. Maybe that doesn't take place. Let's glance at Rashi. That's toward the lower part of the narrow lines, just above where the Bach commentary appears. The emo yad. The ksiva ba'oichlin, maybe yad that's written in the case of food, is lahotzi ksiva v'lo lahachnis. It's only for enabling tuma to exit from something that's already tame, but not to bring in tuma. V'hachnosa lo osi mehotza'a. And hachnosa can't be derived from hotza'a. V'kosav shomer l'rabos bo av hachnosa. And the Torah writes concerning the shomer in its ability even to cause hachnosa, aval yad lahachnis v'shomer letzarev lo. But to suggest that yad is machnis and shomer is shomer joins up to complete required quantities, that we wouldn't say. Ulekame mishani, and later the Gemara will give an answer that it doesn't say right now, but later the Gemara will give a final answer. But in the meantime, we are raising this as a possibility. So the Gemara answers Yad Yisero Ksiv. There's a third reference to Yad. The Pasuk in the context of a Tanur says Tanur V'kirayim Yutatz Temeim Heim U'Temeim Yu Lochem. Once again, you see the word Lochem appearing. Lochem L'chol Shebitzorcheichem. That it's unto you with all of its needs, all of its characteristics. L'rabois Es Hayodas. This word enables us to add not just the tanur, but the, you know, word, and the Torah is talking in the context of a tanur becoming tomei, and we're saying not just the tanur if tuma comes into contact with the tanur itself, but even with contact with its handle. So as a result of that, we have an extra yad posuk, and therefore, to suggest that I have two psukim just for hotzah, that is not reasonable. Therefore, one of the psukim is going to be for hachnosa. So we'll have yad is motzi, yad is machnis, and then we'll have the extra posuk, the third posuk, will be for the shomer, for tziruf purposes. We have dashed underlined the expression yad yisera. That indicates that one of these psukim would have been unnecessary if it were to be learned for yad purposes. Therefore, we're saying the third pasuk is here to teach me about shomer. At this point, the Gemara starts a very long discussion that asks which one of these psukim is in fact really extra. We have provided special marking in order to follow the give and take of this elaborate sugya. You'll notice that we have a house marking that will be appearing in two directions, point up, the roof facing up, and the roof flipped over facing down. In the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we have indicated this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track, with the point facing up, kushos, point facing down, tshuvos. In addition to this, we've also noted to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. That indicates that the initial section of this discussion is made up of a long question. We're calling this a long question. The thrust of this piece of Gemara that's under our long question marking is that it doesn't really appear that one of the yodos are really extra. If they're not extra, we're in effect saying that each reference of yad is necessary simply to teach me that the yad has the capacity of being motzi, which is the lowest level or the simplest level of tuma movement. The Gemara will then go on to say, maybe by saying one word, one yad posuk, I wouldn't have been able to figure out the others. It could be, though, had I had two psukim, I really could have figured out the other on my own. But that, too, the Gemara is going to say, we will run into difficulty with that approach. After the long question, the Gemara comes to an answer, and it'll tell us that really the posuk by Nevela was unnecessary, and I could have figured out the yad of Nevela from the psukim involving the Tanur and the Zroim. So why then did the Torah write yad by Nevela? So it's to tell me concerning the Shomer and its ability to be Mitzaref. You'll notice with the markings, we have the use of different kinds of double underlines. The double underlining that we've seen till now was emphasizing the Gemara's discovery of a source of Shomer being mitzaref, or is mitzaref to mashlim the shiur, to complete the required amount. As we mentioned up till now, the shiur for Tumas Ochlin is an egg quantity. If the amount of actual food that's attached to the shomer is less than an egg in quantity, the shomer could join up to complete that quantity. So each time the Gemara thinks or it appears that we come to such a conclusion, you'll notice we've emphasized that with a double underline. Now, let us turn to the Gemara. With the beginning of the long question, you notice the little house with its point facing upwards. Hey, minayu miyaser. Which one of the yad psukim is extra? Underlying this question is that we're going to see that each one of the psukim is necessary simply to tell me that a yad is capable of being motzi tuma. From an item that's already tume, the handle, the stem, the bone, will be able to transmit the tumah to something else. And I need to be told that in each one of the cases, whether it be Zroim, Tanur, or Nevela. And if that be the case, then I don't have any extra psukim to derive additional halachas from. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Lichtoiv Rachmona Bizroim. Let the Torah write that there's a yad bizroim, velesu hanoch minayu. And then let us try to derive tanur and the vela from the fact that zroim has a yad. I wouldn't be able to do that. Ma'al Izroim Shekein Tumason Meruba. You'll notice we've applied a double underline with a design between them to highlight the words Ma. Ma is a response or a pircha to what's being suggested. We just suggested that maybe it would be sufficient to have a posuk by Zroim and I'd be able to figure out Tanur and Avela from Zroim. No. Ma l'Zroim shekein tumason meruba. The Zroim has a characteristic that food items can makabel, absorb tuma, even from things that are called vlodos hatuma. Things that are classified as a rishon or sheni l'tuma. A rishon l'tuma is the standard vlad hatuma. A rishon is a relatively low level of tuma, and yet it can communicate tuma to food, making it a sheni, a second level tuma. So that's a characteristic that you find by Zroim. It could be, therefore, that only by Zroim are there yados, because they have this feature. Vlodos hatuma don't affect tanur, and certainly not nevela. Nevela itself is already tomei. If we look in the Rashi on the second line under the Gemara, Zroim tuma meruba shemekablin tuma. The Zroim are a reference to vegetables. Seeds and vegetables are makabel tuma, mivlode tuma. Tomar betanur, should I say the same thing regarding a tanur that it too will have a yad? Sheinu makabel tuma, elo me'av hatuma. It absorbs tuma only from something that's called an av level of tuma. That's a higher level of tuma than a rishon l'tuma. So being that a tanur doesn't Makabel tuma from vlodos hatuma, maybe the concept of yad doesn't apply to tanur. V'chein mi nevela meruba tumas oichlin, and also with regard to nevela, tumas oichlin is considered more abundant. Kedisnan mas nisin, as our Mishnah taught, riba l'tami tumas oichlin mimash riba l'tami tumas nevelos. An example of that we learned in the Mishnah, where the animal is flapping around after it's been killed. It's when it's mefarcheses, after it's been slaughtered and it's still flapping around, it can mekabel tumas ochlin, and yet it's not mitama as a nevela. Turning back to the Gemara, lichtov rachmona betanor, let the Torah write yodos by tanor, v'leisi hanoch mine, and I would then derive zroim and nevela as having yodos from the fact that a tanor has a yad. The Gemara says, no, I won't learn from Tanur. Ma la Tanur, shekein mitame me'aviro. The Tanur has a special feature, we'll call it a special astringency attached to it, in that it absorbs tuma even from through its air space. If, let's say, you have a cylindrical vessel that is made of clay that we call a Tanur, and you suspended a dead sheretz in its airspace. The sheretz is a type of creature eight of them are enumerated in the Torah that communicate tuma. In the case of a tanur, by the mere fact that the sheretz is suspended in its airspace and not actually touching it, still tuma will be conveyed. That's a unique feature by a tanur, which doesn't exist by other things. Lichtoiv rachmona b'nevela v'leisi hanoch mina. Let the Torah write that there's a yad by nevela, and that would signal to me that there's a yad by zroim and tanur as well. No, ma le nevela shekein mitama odom u'mitama b'masa v'tuma yotze megufa. You can't derive zroim and tanur from nevela, in so far as the fact that nevela is capable of communicating tuma to a person, to making a person tome. It's mitame b'maso. That means that if a person, even if he's not touching the nevela, but he's simply supporting the nevela, let's say the nevela was on a tray and someone was holding the tray that had nevela in it, person would nevertheless become tome, which is not the case that's not true in the case of Zroim nor Tanur. And Tuma Yotze Megufa mean it's inherently Tomei, as opposed to Zroim and Tanur, which are not inherently Tomei. Therefore, had the Torah written the Yad by Nevela, I wouldn't have derived Zorim and Tanur from it. So the Gemara continues, says Chado mechado lo asya. On a basis of one for one, I wouldn't in fact be able to derive Yodos by other things. In other words, by stating just one of the aforementioned items, namely Tanur or Nevela or Zorim, we just showed how you wouldn't be able to derive the others from them, from it. However, Tesi Chado Mitarti. This is a new suggestion. Using numbers, we're showing you to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we had a little one encircled above, and now a number two, the second stage of, we'll say, suggestions. Let us suggest that by stating two, I could have figured out the third. And if the Torah nevertheless writes the third, that would show me that it's extra. And if it's extra, then I'll have a source for Shomer being Mitztaref. So the Gemara goes about its task. Tesi chado mitarti. Once again, let us derive one, or in this case a third item, from mitarti, from stating two. Well, hey, tesi. Which one should be derived? In other words, which one should the Torah not need to have written in order to teach me about its yad? And yet the Torah does. That shows me it's extra. So let's go through them, and the Gemara actually goes through each different example. And you can see with our markings, we've underlined the suggestions as they come along. In this case, we've underlined Lo Lichtov Rachmona Bezroyim and Vetesi Mehanoch, and a few lines later you'll see Lo Lichtov Rachmona Betanur, and then finally Lo Lichtov Rachmona Benevela. So let the Torah not have written Yad, Lo Lichtov Rachmona Bezroyim, Vetesi Mehanoch, and then let me derive the Yad for Zroyim from having stated Yodos by Tanur and Nevela. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section that we initially will skip, and by doing that, we continue after the bracketed section by reading Ma Lahanoch Shekein Mitamin Shelo Benegia. How can you expect to derive the Yodos by Zorim from Tanur and Nevela, where they have a feature that doesn't exist by Zorim? And it could be that as a result of that, only Tanur and Nevela have Yodos and Zorim do not. And that the Gemara will say after the brackets, Ma lahanoch shekein mitamin shelo benegia, tomer bezroim shein mitamin elo benegia. Tanur and Nevela can absorb they can communicate tuma and absorb tuma without any contact with the item itself. We saw, for example, in the case of the Tanur, if you have a sheretz dangling in its airspace, the Tanur will become Tomei. In the case of Nevela, we know that if you, let us say, support Nevela, like we said, on a tray, so even without touching the Nevela, it can communicate Tuma. That's not the case when it comes to Zroim. In order for Zroim to Makabel Tuma, you would need to have contact with it. And therefore, the Torah needs to tell you that there is a Yad by Zroim as well. Since we have a bracketed section, we must go over it, and what will happen here, the reason we have this in brackets and the reason we skipped it is because there is an attempted pircha to this suggestion of not writing Yodos by Zroim and figuring it out from Tanur Nevela, the Gemara will attempt to reject it, but the attempt will fail. Therefore, we have a new attempted rejection, and that's what we pointed out after the brackets. So, going now over the bracketed section. Ma lahanoch, how can you expect to learn Yodos by Zroim from stating Yodos by Tanur Nevela, Shekein Mitamin Shelo Behechsher? They can metama even without the item that's going to become tome receiving hechsher. Hechsher is a case where the food item, let's say, is washed off and it's left wet. The wetness as a result of it being washed off is called hechsher, which readies the item to be metabel tuma. So who is to say that Zeroyim will be able to be derived from Tanur and Nevela, when we know that in the case of Tanur and Nevela, Tuma is communicated even without Hechsher? Oma Rav Huna Braid Rav Yoshua Peros Shelo Huchshuru Kitanur Shelo Nigmara Malachto Domi. If you're going to bring into our discussion the issue of Hechsher, then let it be known that fruits that have not been rinsed off are considered, they're not considered quite ready for eating. People don't eat fruits or vegetables unless they're washed off, unless they became mukhshar lekabel tuma. So fruits that haven't been rinsed off is parallel to a tanur, ketanur shelo nigmara malachto domi. And in that case, in fact, a tanur that's not completed, that it has its fashioning, its formation hasn't been completed, it too is not going to makabel tuma. So there isn't a difference between the tanur and the peros if you're going to bring in the hechsher factor. So that won't be a means of undoing the comparison. Ela porech hachi, but if you want to show how tanur and nevela are different from zroyim, so show the difference as follows. Ma lahanoch, how can you learn from tanur and nevela, shekein mitamin shelo benegia? Tuma is communicated in the case of tanur and nevela without actual contact. Tomar bezroyim shein mitamin ela benegia. Should you say the same thing with regard to zroyim, where tuma in that case is achieved only through contact? Therefore, because of this difference, it wouldn't have been sufficient for the Torah to write yodos by tanur and nevela and expect me to derive zroyim from that. Zroyim have yodos also from tanur and nevela. So let's try something else. Lo lichtoiv rachmona betanur. Let the Torah have remained silent with regard to its yodos posik by tanur. V'teisi mehanoch, and let me have derived yodos from the Torah stating them by zroyim and avela. This too the Gemara rejects. Ma lahanoch shekein oichel. I wouldn't be able to derive the yad by tanur from telling me that zroyim and nevela have yodos. They are different. They are food, and as a result of them being food, that is a sufficient demonstration of difference, thereby making it necessary for the Torah to write yad by tanur as well. At this point, you can see we have an inverted house marking. That indicates that after all is said and done, we're now coming to an answer. We asked before, hey, it seems to us that each yad word is absolutely necessary. Therefore, I wouldn't have an extra yad word available, an extra pusuk available for me to determine that shomer is mitzarif. Just let's review a point that we made earlier. As far as Shomer being Machnis and Motzi, that ain't ochinami. We don't need to teach. But we're right now at a much earlier point. We seem to be in a position where all of the yados posuk are needed simply to tell me that yad is motzi. How am I to derive anything beyond that? So the Gemara answers, Ela loy lichtev rachmona b'nevela. Let the Torah have remained silent with regard to the yad posuk in the context of nevela. The tesi mehanoch. And let me derive that the yad by nevela from having stated yad by tanur and zroyim. Yad de nevela lomali. Why did the Torah write yad by nevela? Imeno inyan liyad nevela, teneo inyan liyad de amo. If the yad posuk by nevela was not necessary, because it could have been derived from having stated tanur and zroyim, that tanur has a yad and zroyim has a yad, and through that I would have been able to determine that nevela also has a yad. Why does the Torah write it? Imeno inyan liyad de nevela, teneo inyan liyad de amo. If it's not necessary to tell me that nevela has a yad possibility, then let us assign it to yodos in general, as follows: yad lahachnis, yad lahotzi, shomer litzarev. So here we would have then the extra pasuk that we were looking for. The Gemara asks, but still, and you can see with the house form facing up, we are about to learn a question. Before going on in the Gemara, let's glance at the Rashi in the wide section, about halfway down the wide section. Teneu inyan liyad de almo, Rashi says, de oichlin, yad in general, by food. The imeno inyan lohotza, if I don't need the pasuk for the yad's ability of being motzi tuma to something else, conducting tuma to something else, daho bididhu yad ksiva, because regarding that very point, the Torah writes yad. So teneu lahachnosa, then assign the extra yad posuk for yad's ability to machnis tuma. Hare yad lahachnis ulahotzi v'shomer litzaref. And from this, then, we will determine that yad has the capacity of being motzi, yad has the capacity of being machnis, and the shomer and its abilities to be motzi and machnis we can derive without psukim. Why does the Torah write anything about shomer? It must be for this added feature that shomer has, and that is to be mitzaref. The Shomer Posuk, by the way, we made reference to it before, that was also featured on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Omid Beis. The Posuk of Al Kol Zera Zeruah. So continuing in the Gemara, we have now a question. Ve'akati yad dinevela itzrich. The fact that Torah writes yad by nevela, I actually do need it. De'i lo kosav rachmona b'nevela, had the Torah not written about the yad by nevela and left me on my own to derive yad of nevela from zroyim and tanur, well, have amino dayo labo min hadin lios kanidon. I would have applied this very well-known rule of Talmudic logic, which says that the derivative cannot be any greater, any more stringent than the source. How is that going to be manifest over here? Ma hanoch, just like the zroyim and tanur, lo metama odom, there would be no conducting of tumah to a person. In other words, food and a tanur cannot make a person tomei. Well, then af nevela lo metama odom, then I'll be left with saying that the case of the yad of nevela wouldn't be able to matama a person either. And, well, that's not true. In other words, if, let us say, you had a piece of bone, attached to one end is nevela meat, and a person touches the other end of the bone, so he will become tameh. But if I would have had written the yad by zroim and tanor, I wouldn't have known that feature by nevela. Oh, Ela yad de nevela mitzrach tzorech. I really do need the Torah to write yad by nevela for its own sake. That means to latama person. The shomer de nevela hu de lo tzorech. And a posuk by nevela, it's posuk in Vayikra Yud Aleph, posuk lamites, where the Torah writes the word yitma. That posuk of yitma, that nevela has a shomer, that is unnecessary. That's a seeming extra posuk. And you'll notice with our markings, we've squiggle underlined Shomer Devela, because this will be a new point of focus. And we've also labeled this number 3 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This is a third stage in trying to figure out which Pusuk is going to serve as the extra Pusuk. And from that extra Pusuk, we will then determine that there is Shomer is there litzaref. So the Gemara says, "V'shomer denevelo hu de lo tzorach l'may hilchasot tasvei rachmona." Why does the Torah write that nevelo has shomer? E litzarufi, if it's to tell me that the skin that's attached to nevelo meat is mashlim, completes a shiur of tuma of nevela, huamris lo mitzdaref. But we've already taught that, and this you can see by using the arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. You'll notice there's a corresponding arrow 4 lines from the top, also to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, and it's pointing to a source that indicated that the in that source we learned that the or is not mashlim the shiur. So ilitzdrufi, we said it's not mitzdarif. Ulahotzi, and as far as shomer being motzi tuma, that kalvachomer miyad osi, that could have been determined through kalvachomer logic. And lemeino inyan l'shomer dinavela, if the appearance of shomer in the Torah, namely posuk Lamed Tes in Perek Yud Aleph of Vayikra, if it's really unnecessary to serve as a source that Nevela has a Shomer, Teneu Inyan Liyad de Nevela. Well then, let us apply it to Yad of Nevela. Then Eno Inyan Liyad de Nevela, if I don't really need it for Yad of Nevela, because I already have a Yad Nevela Pasuk, Teneu Inyan Liyad de Alma. Then let me apply it to Yodos in general. And from this, we will then show, once again, Yad Lahotzi, Yad Lahachnis, Vishomer Litzarev. You'll notice we have the double underline again. As we mentioned earlier, each time the Gemara feels that it's coming, it has come up with a source for these 3 points, especially the Shomer Litzarev, we've emphasized that with our double underline. The Gemara asks, though, and you'll notice once again at the top of Omid Beis, we have a house marking with the top pointing up. The Eimo im eino inyan l'shomer dinavela, teneo inyan l'shomer di alma. Maybe the appearance of the shomer posuk by nevela, though it's not necessary for itself, for the topic of nevela, let us apply it to shomer in general. Shomer lahachnis, v'shomer litzaref, avol yad lahachnis loy. Maybe these are the conclusions that we are to reach. That a shomer is machnis, and a shomer is mashlim, a shirtz mitzaref, But as far as a yad being machnis, that no. Elo, this is an answer. Meikara kiksivo yad. When the Torah initially introduces the existence of yad, ah hachnoso ksiva. The Torah is describing a yad as being machnis tuma. If that be the case, as far as then being motzi tuma, that's obvious. That's poshit, and therefore, we conclude like we've been concluding till now that there is a yad lahotzi, and that would be from the kol shekein we just suggested, and there's a yad lahachnis, that's from the posuk, and there's a shomer is mistarif that I will learn from the posuk by Zroyim. Ella, shomer dinavela lomali. So what do I need to have a posuk concerning shomer of nevela? Answer, legufe. I need it for the topic of nevela itself. Ulamai, what aspect of the topic of nevela itself do I need the Torah to write about a shomer? Ilitzterufi amris lomitzarif. If you are going to say that the Torah writes about the shomer of nevela in its capacity for being mashlim the shiur, but that we've already said doesn't take place. E lahachnis lahotzi, if you'll tell me that there's a shomer posuk by nevela for to teach us of its abilities to be machnis and motzi tuma, I don't need that. Kavachomer miyad asya. That could have been derived from the posuk dealing with yad. The Gemara answers, Milso de Asya b'kavachomer, Torach v'kosav lokra. The Shomer Posuk by Nevela, in fact, teaches me that it's Machnis and Motzi. You'll ask, but that seems to be unnecessary, because that could have been derived from the Yad Posuk of Nevela. To that we respond that sometimes things that could be determined through Kal Vachomer, the Torah will write it out anyway. Question, Ihachi, Shomer de Alma, as far as Shomer in general is concerned, Eima loch lahachnis, I will tell you that the Torah writes about a Shomer in general to convey the idea that it's machnis tuma, but not mitzdarev. Umilsa de asya b'kav v'chomer tov v'gozav l'kro. And this idea that a shomer is machnis tuma, which is something that I could have learned through a kav v'chomer, the Torah nevertheless sometimes goes out of its way and writes it down anyway. And if that be the case, then the shomer and its ability to mitzdarev, how would you have ever learned that? The Gemara answers that this last suggestion of saying that Shomer de Alma is for being Machnis Tuma and not Litzarev, that's not the direction we're going to go. Hecho de Iko le Midrash Darshinon. If there is something available for us to darshan, then we will darshan it. And in our case, as far as Shomer being Mitzdarif, that's something that is available to be darshaned, to be learned out from the extra posuk. Rav Chaviva Omar, Shaini Shomer de Nevela. The case of Shomer of Nevela is in fact different. Keva de Maise Yad Ko'ovid, since its function is one of communicating Tuma outwards, ayad shavinon lei. We therefore attach or we assign it to be a source for yad being machnis tuma. We apply the shomer of nevela to halachas, to rules concerning yodos. And once again, as far as Shomer being mitzdarif, that I learn from the posuk by Zroyim, the Shomer posuk by Zroyim. before going on in the Gemara, let's go over the Gemara we just learned, but through Rashi. Rashi, you find a few lines down from here, Rav Chaviva Omar, Le'olam Kedamrin Meikora. Let us say, like we said earlier, the Shomer D'Nevela, the Lo Yitzrich, the Shomer Posuk by Nevela is not necessary, Teneu Inyan Liyad. So let us apply it to the rules of Yodos. Udeka Parchis, and if you'll ask, Emo Teneu Inyan L'Shomer D'Almo, apply the Shomer Nevela Posuk to rules of Shomer in general, Avol Yad L'Hachnis Lo Ashkechan, but to suggest that we have Yad as being something to conduct Tuma inwards into or to something that's Tor, that we don't have precedent for, HaPirchahi, that is not an objection. The Kevon de Maisi Yad Ovid, since the Shomer performs the role of Yad, She'ein mitzaref kishar shomer. We have already said this before, that the shomer in the case of the vela isn't going to be mitzaref like other shomerim. El amachnis umotzi. Its only role would be as being a motzi, kemaise yad, as a conductor of tuma, like a handle, as if it were a handle. So mistabra di yisura diday. It must be that the fact that it's extra, the extraness of the Shomer of Nevela is the lo itzrich, that's as far as for itself it's not necessary, therefore ayad shodinan le, Rashi goes on, we apply the Shomer Nevela posuk to yad, lios inyan yad de almo, to serve as a source for handles in general, and we said that handles in general will be able to be machnis tuma, vashto kulu tsrichi, and now all of them are necessary. All the psukim, kol yodos diksivi, lahotzi tsrichi. As far as the psukim that deal with yodos, we saw psukim by zroim, by tanur, by nevela. They are all necessary to teach me that a yad is capable of being motzi tuma to something else. Dechado meidoch lo asyo kedamoran, and we said that by stating one, I couldn't figure out the others. U de nevela, the yad of nevela, the posuk that was in the case of the nevela, mishum shelo tomar dayo. I need that so that I don't say that the yad of nevela should be no greater than the others, and then a person would not become tomei had he touched the yad of nevela, and we therefore have to have yad written out by nevela. Shomer de nevela, the posuk writes concerning the shomer of nevela. We had a posuk gitma for that. Lios inyan liyad dehachnosa, to show me that. Whereas that was that the Shomer Pasuk by Nevela is the source or the basis for Yad being Machnis Tuma. The Shomer de Oichlin, the Pasuk that we had featured on Kuf Yud Zayin Mabez, that's dealt with the Al Kolzera Zeruah Shezareah, that Shomer of Oichlin, that's Litzaref. So Rashi gives us a very fine review of all of the different psukim that we've learned till now in the Gemara and what their roles are. Turning back to the Gemara, Maskif lo Rav Yehuda bar Rav Shmuel. This question, you can see, preceding it was a semicolon. This is to create the sense that this question is not directly, it's not addressed on that which was stated immediately before it, but on something earlier. So Rav Yehuda raises a question. Ha disnan, ha pitmo shel rimon mitzarefes. Vanetz shelo ein mitzaref. A rimon is often translated as a pomegranate. The pomegranate has different parts of it are featured here. There is the pitma and the nates. So it's pointed out here that the pitma of the rimon is mitzarefes. For our purposes, Rashi, we can look at Rashi together. And Rashi says, "Hapitma shel rimon, hu shomer al piv, vanetz shomer acher." The pitma is one of the things that guard the rimon, and the netz is a different shomer. It's a shomer acher al gabi hapitmo, kamo sheish al egozim. It's a layer above the pitmo. That's the nates. So in this source, we are taught that the pitmo of the rimon is mitstarif. That means it will help to complete a shiur. The shiur, the quantity required for tumas ochlin. The amai. Now our question here is a question focused on that which was taught on daf kuf yud zayin omid beis. So we're going to ask here, amai kuri kan al kol zera zerua. In order for something to be called a shomer, it has to be something that conforms to the pasuk of shomrim, which is al kol zera zerua, which means the way you take something out to be planted, that which is attached to the seed or the item that you want to plant. So if you have something attached to it at the time you're planting it, that is labeled its shomer. Huh. But when it comes to the rimon, when you want to plant the rimon, basically you plant a branch or a rimon as a tree. It's a type of tree. So you don't plant, you don't put the rimon in the ground. And therefore, how can you say that the pitma shel rimon is mitstarif when that the pitma is not present on that which you are planting? You're essentially planting a branch of a rimon, or the sapling. That's the starting part of a tree, not the fruit itself with its pitma. So according to the rule that we said that a shomer is something that's called kolzera zero, the way you take something out to be planted, that's what is considered the shomer. Here we have a Tanaic source that says the pitma of the rimon is mitzdari, even though it's not something that's a part of the rimon when it's being planted. That's one question. We have another question. The su, hadisnan, that which was taught, or v'roitiv akipa, mitzdarif letame tumas ochen. This we had in our Mishnah. Then, where do I know that? Minolon, from where do I know that these points, that the or the roitiv and the kippah mitzdarif for tumas ochlin, complete, to conserve, to complete the shiur of ochlin? Elo, actually, maybe just review, the or is the skin, the roitiv is a type of gel that you find on meat after it's left to sit, the fats congeal. Kippah are little shreds of meat found at the bottom of the pots of food that are being cooked up. From where do I know that these things are mitzdarif to create the quantity necessary for tumas ochlin? So basically we have two questions right now. What is the source that the pitma of a rimon is mitzdarif, and likewise that or v'rod of a kippah are mitzdarif. Ela tlosa kroi ksivi. We have three psukim. I'll call Zera, Zerua, Asher Yizorea. And we've numbered off the extra elements here in this pasuk. Chad l'shomer d'zroyim. One will tell me that vegetables have a shomer. V'chad l'shomer d'ilonos. Idoch l'shomer b'osur beitzim v'dokim. So one tells me that trees, that fruit has a shomer, and that meat, eggs, and fish have shomrim. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading, and you'll notice in the outside margin under the Nosei heading, we've written Yad Lutuma and also Yad Lehechsher. When it comes to the issue of Yad Lehechsher, we'll see a Machlokis, Rav, and Rabbi Yochanan. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll also explain these points at greater length. Omer B'chiyo Bar Ashi, Omer Rav, Yesh Yad Lutuma, V'ein Yad Lehechsher. If something is Tomei, and it's attached to a, we call the handle, the bone or stem, so the yad functions as a conduit for communicating tumah, and we've seen it working in two directions, communicating tumah away from, just outwards from something that's already tumah, or bringing tumah into the food item attached to the yad from a source that is tumah. However, ein yad lehechsher would mean, let us say, the food item that's attached to the yad itself was not rinsed off, wasn't wet. But the yad was wet. And the tuma touches the yad that was mukhsar. According to Rav, tuma will not be communicated to the food item itself. As we've said earlier, in order for food to become tameh, it needs to have hechsher. But in this case, since the food item itself that's attached to the bone or to the stem, it itself was not wet, wetted, the fact that the yad itself was wetted is insufficient. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, yesh yad letumo ulehechsher. Rabbi Yochanan says that in addition to yad functioning as a conduit of tuma, it's also a conduit of hechsher. It will communicate the hechsher to the food item that's attached to it. B'mai komifligi. What's the basis of this machlokus? And the machlokus is focused on the issue of yad lehechsher. With our markings, we've tried to highlight this machlokus with the diagonal dashed underline under the expression by Rav, Ein Yad Lehechsher, and by Rabbi Yochanan, the words Yesh Yad and Ule Hechsher. So the Gemara right now wants to know what's the underlying point of difference or argument. Iboy Seima Svara, Iboy Seima Kra. If you like, we can show their difference through logic, or if you like, we can show their difference through psukim. So Iboy Seima Kra, Mar Savar, Mikra Nidrash Lefonov, Velo Lefnei Fonov. That's rather obscure. What we will do is we'll look at the in the margin of our Gemara, try to find where the Pasuk Vayikra Yud Aleph Pasuk Lamed Ches appears. There we've written the Pasuk. It says V'chiyutan Mayim Al Zera. That's a description of Hechsher. V'nofal Minivlosan Olov Tomeh hu lochem. The expression v'chiyutan mayim is, as we said, a reference to hechsher. The word lochem is a reference to yodos that we saw much earlier today. If you look at the word lochem in the pasuk, immediately before the word lochem, which is a reference to yodos, is the term tuma. From this we can see that's called mikra nidrosh lefonov, that there is yodos for the purpose of communicating tuma. The question, or the point of machlokis is, what about yodos in their ability to communicate hechsher? In order to attach yodos to the concept of hechsher, you would have to say that the mikra, in this case the word lochem, nidrash lefonav ulifnei fonav, meaning all the way back to the beginning of that pasuk. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that there is Yad Lehechsher, he will be the opinion that says Mikra Nidrash Lefonav Hu Lifnei Fonav. According to Rav, on the other hand, that says that there is no Yad Lehechsher, he will tell you Mikra Nidrash Lefonav, but not Lifnei Velo Lifnei Fonav. That's as far as the difference between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan as is based on the pasuk. We could also say that they argue on a point of analysis. Morsovar, Rabbi Yochanan, who held that there is Yad Lehechsher, he holds Hechsher Tchilas Tumahu. Hechsher represents the beginning of Tuma. So that if there's a Yad Letuma, there's also a Yad Lehechsher. Morsovar, Rav, on the other hand, Hechsher Lav Tchilas Tumahu. Hechsher is not viewed as the beginning of Tuma. He rather views it as something else, as a different phenomenon. So, as far as Rav is concerned, there is no logical connection between Yodos, or once we know that there's Yodos Latuma, I wouldn't automatically say that there's Yodos for Hechsher. That's as far as Rav is concerned. Tanya Kavosid Rav Yochan. We have a Tanaic source that will support Rav Yochanan's approach. It says, "Kshem sheyesh yad letuma kach yesh yad lehechsher." That we've dashed underlined because that's the main point. just like there is yad l'tumah, just like the handle is a conduit of tumah, the handle also is a way of communicating hechsher to the food item itself that didn't come into contact with the water. Ukshem she'ein mekablin tumah elo l'chshiyit l'shu, kach ein mekablin hechsher elo ad she'yit l'shu. This second part of the source is less important for us right now, because the main reason for bringing the source is that which we've dashed underlined. Nevertheless, it points out that just like there is no absorption of tuma while something is attached to a tree, let's say you have a fruit that grows on a tree and a dead sheretz touched it while it was on the tree, the food would not become tomei. Tuma is something applicable only when the fruit is detached from the tree. So just like absorption of tuma takes place only when something is detached, so too for something to become mukhshir lekabel tuma, this is true only when it's detached. In other words, if let us say fruit, which naturally in the course of time dew accumulates on it or rain falls on it, it became wet, that is of no significance regarding establishing its hechsher status, because it's still attached. Only when food becomes wet after it's been detached from the tree or from its place of growth, only then does the discussion of hechsher become relevant. As we go on in the Gemara, there's a new point of discussion. Even though Rav and Rabbi Yochanan appear again, this is a brand new point. This machlokis, and we've written on the side of our Gemara under our Nosei heading, machlokis Rav Rabbi Yochanan b'shiurei ha'oichel liyad u'lishomer. This is a machlokis regarding quantities in order for something to function as a yad or a shomer. So the Gemara, Omar Rav, ein yad lepochos mikazayas, v'ein shomer lepochos mikepul. If, let us say, a piece of food were attached to a stem or a bone, but it was less than a kezias, less than an olive in quantity, so there will be no yad function. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi found in the lower part of the Rashi commentary, Ein yad lepochus mikezias, im yesh oichel pochus mikezias, kagon pul o chatzi zayas bosa. Let's say you had a piece of food that's less than a zayas. It's a pool. It's a type of bean, or it's a half olive in quantity. Velo yad, and it's attached to a yad, a handle, a stem. Vahare hu im oichlin kebetza. And imagine together with the yad, the chatzi zayas with the yad would be a kebetza, an egg quantity. Vinoga tuma biyad. And tuma touched the handle, the stem. Hoyol v'ikoro eino kezayis, since the basic food is not an olive in quantity, so biyachad ein choshuv lios lo yad. So altogether, it doesn't function as a yad. V'kol tohor avol yesh shomer lepochus mikezayis uvad shehei kepul. However, as far as Rav is concerned, Shomer will apply. There will be something will function as a Shomer, even if it's less than a Kezias, provided that it is a pool. A pool is a type of bean, a pool in size. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Yesh Yad Lepochos Mikezias, V'yesh Shomer Lepochos Mikapul. Rabbi Yochanan is more extreme and says that Yados and Shomrim can function even with these smaller quantities. And with the case with regard to Yad, there is a Yad for something less than a Kezias, and there is a Shomer for something that's even less than a pool. It could be pointed out, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, that a Yad may exist for something that's less than a Kezias, but it must be a minimum of a pool in size in order for it to function as a Yad. At this point in the Gemara, we see a new marking. We see a diamond, and this is explained in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, Kushos Hamuchuvonos Neged Rav the diamond will appear here, and also on Daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. These are questions directed against Rav Mimakoros, from sources. Questions from sources. Shebohem Royim Shiesh Yad O Shomer. There is a Yad, or there's a Shomer, the Shiur Machiri Masham Rav, using quantities different than those that were taught by Rav. So the first source, Meisvei, Shnei Atzomos, there are two bones of a dead person. Va'aleihem Shnei Chatzoi Zesim. And on each bone is a half zayas of human flesh. Vehichnis Roshem Ashniim Labayas. The bones had a certain amount of length to them, so the other end of the bone that didn't have the actual human flesh attached to it was placed inside the house. So if one end of the bone in the house, and the other end of the bone having the half olive quantity of flesh attached to it outside the house, v'habayis mayel aleihem, and the house is currently overshadowing the second ends of the bone, habayis tomei, the house will become tomei. In other words, even though you don't have a kezayis min hameis inside the house, you have the yodos of two half zesim that are in the house. That's sufficient for overshadowing to take place and create tuma for the, everything inside the house. Yehuda ben Akusa Oimer Mishum Rabbi Yekiv, Hech Shnei Atzomos Mitztarfen Likazayas. He reacts and says that there, he doesn't see how two bones can join up to form the shear of Kezias. So now, that's the source. What the Gemara does is now zeroes in on Shitas Rav and shows how there is a difficulty. The Rav, Hai B'mai Oikim Lo. How will Rav establish this source? E B'yad, if we're talking about the bones functioning as a yad, Kashio Reisha. The Reisha represents a challenge to Rav. Rav said that there is no yad when you're dealing with less than a kezias. Well, if the bones in this source are functioning as yados, so then we see that the bones are functioning, each one having less than a kezias on them. So that's a difficulty for Rav. E b'shomer, then Kashio Seifa. If the bones here are bones that are functioning as a shomer, then, Rashi points out, that would be a case of bones that have in it marrow. And you have, let's say, a long bone, and one end of it, there is marrow filling one end of the bone, and the other end of the bone you placed in the house. And each one of these bones has a chatzi zayas of marrow in it. So a bone with marrow in it functions as a shomer. Well, then the seifa presents a problem. We see that, as far as Rav is concerned, something that is more than a pool has a shomer. And yet, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa, the house did not become tomei, so that it wasn't functioning. The bones that had in it, that had on each one a chatzi zayas, which is more than a pool, and yet the house was not tomei. That's a problem for Rav, because according to Rav, once you get to something more than a pool, there is a shomer. The Gemara answers, Eboy is emo b'yad, Eboy is emo b'shomer. If you like, we can explain the bones in this source functioning as yados, and if you like, we can explain it describing them as shomer. And either way, we'll preserve Rav. Heboy Seimo Biyad, we can say that the bones in this source represent yados. Behudi Omar Ki Yehuda Ben Nekusa. And Rav is based on the Tanaic opinion of Yehuda Ben Nekusa. Just like Yehuda ben Nekusa says, there is no tumas ohel over here, because each bone did not have a kezias on it, and each bone is a yad. That's what Rav says, that a yad that has less than a kezias doesn't function as a yad. You could say that the source is dealing with bones that function as a shomer. And Rav, who said that there is a shomer for less than a kezias, he will be based on the Tanakama. V'Rav Yochanan Omar Kula Biyad. Rav Yochanan, in looking at this source, will set up the entire source as dealing with a yad. V'hu the Omar Ketana Kama, and Rav Yochanan, who said that there is a yad for less than a kezias, he will base himself on the opinion of the Tana Kama. As you can see, the Gemara continues with its questioning by virtue of the fact that we have another diamond, but we will at this point pause in our discussion and simply say that with that we conclude our shiur for today.